We open our Bibles this morning in the book of Exodus in the chapter 14. 14th chapter of the book of Exodus, commencing to read at the verse number 1. I'd like you to follow God's Word once again as we open the Scriptures and we meditate upon it. Praying the Spirit of God will just open our hearts to receive just what the Lord would speak to us and what He would say to us. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel that they turn and encamp before Pahairoth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-zephon. Before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, They are entangled in the land, the wilderness has shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh, and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot, and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots, and all the chariots of Egypt, and captains over every one of them. And Pharaoh, and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, or the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with a high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them, encamping by the sea, beside Pahairoth, before Baal-zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon the hosts, his hosts, and upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten the honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground. And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses and his chariots and his horsemen. It came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud. He troubled the host of the Egyptians. And he took off their chariot wheels, but they drave them heavily. So the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians." We end our reading there. We'll keep our Bibles open. We'll bow our heads humbly in prayer. Seek the face of God. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, Thou art our eternal home. Before the hills in order stood, or earth received her frame, from everlasting Thou art God, to endless years the same. And O God, we lift our eyes upon Thee, and we cry unto Thee that Thou will come, and Thou will visit Thy vine again with Thy presence and with Thy power. O God, we pray in Jesus' name, stand in the midst of Your people. And O God, today hold the stars. O God, hold Thy preachers in Thy hand, in Thy powerful right hand, that we might know the help which Thou hast promised to give us, that we might know the power of the blessed Holy Spirit, the mantle of God. O God, give us that double portion this day. We thank Thee for what Thou hast been doing. We thank Thee for the moving of Thy Spirit. But O God, I pray in Jesus' name that Thou wilt move upon our hearts this day as we meditate upon Thy Word. So to this end, O God, I claim now the power of Thy Holy Spirit. Help me, Lord, to know that endowment of power which is from on high, that man may not be seen or glorified, but that Christ alone might be uplifted and Thy people edified, and souls drawn savingly to Thyself. We pray in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. The passage of God's Word that we have before us is surely a passage of God's Word of tremendous encouragement, which reminds us that we have a powerful God. We have a God who is upon the throne, and we have a God who does remember His own. Here we find the children of Israel as they make their way out of the land of Egypt, that God speaks unto Moses, His servant, in verse number 2 of chapter 14. And we drew attention to it last Lord's Day. Speak unto the children of Israel, that they may turn and encamp. And we find indeed that God was moving and that God was working. Even though that humanly speaking it seemed to be that everything was in a mess, that God was having His laugh at the enemy, and God was indeed working out His plan and His purpose. And as I said last Lord's Day, God says, "I want you to turn." And God turned this mighty congregation of people, the children of Israel, 2 million of them. And God turned His children and He said, "I'm going to take you another way." And God took them down the west side of the Red Sea, as if they were going to Horeb. Indeed, then they would have to go that way. But friend, they needed to go the east side. But God seemed to be taking them the opposite part. It all seemed to be wrong. But what God was doing was God was laughing at the enemy here in this passage of God's Word. And God says, I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart, verse 4, that he shall follow after you. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And they went with God and they obeyed God. And God was going to be exalted above and before Pharaoh. And God was luring the enemy, as it were, into the trap where God was going to destroy them. And here the devil oversteps himself. And God destroys the enemy in a mighty and a powerful way. Now, of course, as we see the children of Israel here going with God, notice in verses 8 and 9 the pursuit. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with a high hand. You know, it dawns upon Pharaoh, because they go to him and they say, Pharaoh, we have no servants anymore. We have the children of Israel, they were our servants for years. And we had brought them into bondage and they served us and they did what we told them. But we have no servants anymore. And when they went to Pharaoh, he asked the question, what have we done here? And so they realized that somehow they were stupid in what they did. They let the children of Israel go. The Bible says the children of Israel went out with a high hand. What does that mean? Yes, it is true. They went out with a full hand. Because God, through the Egyptians, supplied them plenty for to help them on their journey. But it says here, they went out with an high hand. And that's not the same as a full hand. The word high hand means with confidence. They went out with courage. They went out triumphantly. In other words, what it means was this, that the children of Israel, as they were making their way out of Egypt, they were not going out discouraged, they were not going out fretting or downhearted. But instead of this, as they marched out there in the rows of five, they walked out in victory, in front of the very eyes of the enemy. And although the devil was about to attack them, and the devil was about to send Pharaoh to pursue after them, I want you to see God's children marching out of the land of Egypt. And the Bible says they went out with a high hand. They went out with confidence. They went out, with courage. They went out in triumph, knowing that they were under the guidance and the leading of God. But notice something happens. It says, the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he pursued after the children of Israel. Verse 9, but the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them. Here's the pursuit. And you know, when God is working and when God is moving, the devil will try to stop the work of God. The devil will try to intervene and do something, friend, that will disrupt him and stop the work of God. It says, overtook them. In other words, they caught up as it were, they caught up with their prey. It's a hunting term, caught up. It means they caught up with their prey. And I want you to see, here's the children of Israel, and now they're marching out with confidence. And they're marching out triumphant as they walk out of Egypt. But my, the enemy's pursuing after them, and the enemy's about to entrap them again. The enemy's about to hunt them down again, and to catch up with them, as if they were a simple prey in a hunting match. But notice, it says the plea in verse number 10. It says, or the problem in verse 10, it says, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. So I can see the picture. Can you see it? The Egyptians are closing in upon the children of Israel, and they're about to face another hour of testing. You see, but aren't they walking with God? Aren't they walking in obedience to the will of God? Yes, they are. But it is also true that whilst we move and go in the direction which the Lord is taking us, And that the Lord is commanding us quite often problems and difficulties and trials will overtake us. Your faith will be tested. Young child of God, can I say this to you? You want to go with God. And you remember the night whenever your sins were blotted out and you had the joy in your heart and you left God's house. And there was a march in you. There was a lilt in your step. And my, there was a song in your heart. And there was a liberty in your soul. Because you knew your sins were forgiven. I want to tell you, the devil will pursue after you. You see that newfound faith in Jesus Christ, the devil will test it. The devil will try to test you. The devil will pursue after you. The devil will try to catch up with you as if he was catching up with his prey. Because your enemy will, who goeth about as a roaring lion, he seeketh whom he may devour. Here was a problem that we're facing. How will they face it? Well, surely you were saved. Didn't God intervene with it for them before? Haven't they proved the sufficiency of God? Do you remember whenever everything seemed to be lost down there in Egypt and the angel of death was going through the land? Didn't God say that there was a way of deliverance? Didn't God provide a deliverance for them? Whenever the death angel was going through the land and taking the firstborn of every house in Egypt, there wasn't one of the boys, the firstborn of the Israelites that died. God had delivered them. Surely they know that God has intervened. Surely they've experienced the intervention of God. Surely they've proved God in the past. Now surely they'll have confidence in God as they're facing this great enemy that is approaching and drawing up close to them. I want you to notice it says in verse 10, when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they were sore afraid. They've got a problem here. Because instead of keeping their eyes upon the Lord, friend, they saw the Egyptians. Instead of keeping their eyes upon the Lord, the God who had intervened so many times in their behalf already, and God had sent forth a deliverance, instead of seeing God's, they looked around and what did they see? They saw the pursuing Egyptians. And they got their eyes upon, and they fixed their eyes upon the Egyptians. And it says they were so afraid. And of course, the devil wants us to get our eyes upon our circumstances. And the devil wants to get our eyes upon the oppositions. And the devil wants to get our eyes upon our surroundings. And the devil wants us to see the enemy. And the devil wants to make us sore afraid. What does that mean? It means simply this, friend. We begin to despair. It is so easy to see the Egyptians pursuing, friend. Make no mistake about it, we need wisdom. Oh, we need wisdom. Because your faith will be tested and so will mine. And there are situations that face us, and they will face you and have faced me. Now, to be honest, our faith will be tested, but I want to tell you, I want you to remember this. Many, many, many years ago, Dr. Bob Jones preached a mighty sermon on "Do Right, Should the Stars Fall." And friend, I believe that is right. Do right, should the stars fall. And let me tell you, don't get your eyes upon the circumstances and simply upon the surroundings, because I'll tell you, you'll begin to sink. And you'll begin to despair. But fix your eyes upon the Lord. And I'll tell you, He'll give you peace in the midst of the storm. But when you get your eyes off them, let me tell you, these children of Israel, they haven't peace in the midst of the storm. What does it say? It says they were sore afraid. Because they saw man instead of God. You remember Peter in the story in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14? You remember that night how the Lord came walking in his disciples were in the boat and the Lord came walking in the water. They thought it was a spirit. And they were afraid. And then the Lord, to dispel their fears, said, "It's I. Be not afraid." The Lord revealed Himself in the midst of the darkness, friend. That's what He does, of course. He reveals Himself in the midst of the darkness. And Peter said, "Lord, if it's Thee, well, would You bid me to come to Thee in the water?" The Lord said to Peter, He said, "Peter, come." And Peter got out of that boat, and friend, he started to walk to Jesus, and then something happened. Great storm. Wind started to blow. And as Peter got out of that boat and to take the walk of faith, friend, listen, here he's starting to walk and he's walking upon the water. You see, friend, let me tell you, he's not caught up with the water. He's caught up with the Lord. And there he is walking. Because you see, the command of Christ is the enablement. Because God never asked you to do something, or God never commanded you to do something, but God will give you the grace to perform it and give you the power to do it. "Lord, if it be Thou, bid me to come to Thee." And Jesus had come. Jesus wasn't mocking Peter. Jesus had come. And Peter got out of the boat, friend, and no sooner was he walking the walk of faith to the Lord Jesus than the storm grew up. You see, his faith was tested. And then the winds blew and the waves started to move around him. You know what happened to Peter? He then took his eyes of the Lord and his eyes got caught up with the waves. And he began to sink. And then he cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately he stretched forth his hand. And let me say this. The winds didn't cease. Immediately. It wasn't until they got back to the boat and they had to walk back through the waves. They had to walk back through the storm, friend. You say, surely I won't face the storm if I know the Lord. Surely there'll be no great trial of my faith. Let me tell you, my friend, God has a purpose and a plan for the storm. And God will do something in your life, friend, let me tell you, in the storm, that the sunshine could never do for you. God's ways are perfect. And Jesus Christ reached forth his hand and he took Peter from the belly of the waves that were about to consume him. And Peter and Jesus together walked back to the boat. Over the same waves. Through the same storm. That had so consumed Peter, that had so taken over his life, that he got his eyes in Christ and he started to go down. And now I want to tell you, the devil will want to get your eyes off the Lord, friend. He'll get your eyes upon man. He'll get your eyes upon circumstances. Anything and everything to get your eyes of the Savior. I say in God's name, don't trust anybody but Jesus. Get your eyes on Him. And he got his eyes on the Lord. But praise God, he got his eyes back on the Lord. And Peter and the Lord Jesus walked back to that boat. And praise God, they didn't sink. Neither did the boat. And there came a calm. And so it was here, the children of Israel. They are marching out. Do you see it? Listen, a high hand. Confidence, victorious, triumphant.
Immediately, the devil came out. You see, it's easy to talk about faith when you're on the mountain. But remember, life has its valleys. But he's still the God of the valleys as much as he's God of the mountain. And so there is a problem here. Notice there is a plea here. Because it goes there down to verse number 10, and we find there's a plea here. It says, and whenever they were sore afraid, the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, and they said, verse 11, unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians, for it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. Here's a plea. But friend, it is true that it says there the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Their situation made them pray. Made them pray. They got their eyes upon the Lord, and that's good. Because it is good that we take our situation, we take our petitions to the Lord. But let's be honest. Their petition went further than that. Their petition was not only a cry unto the Lord, it says they had a cry unto Moses. And you'll notice what that took. What form that took. Because it is true that there's a flicker of faith there. They cried unto the Lord, but let me tell you, there's not only a flicker of faith, there's a flame of the flesh here. And there's a battle. Because the flicker of faith says they cried unto the Lord, here's the flame of the flesh, because they turned on Moses. And as they turn on Moses, they blame Moses, and they made a foolish charge against Moses, because it says, they said unto the Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Let me tell you this, my friend. This wasn't Moses taking them anywhere. This was God. This was God. God told Moses to turn. In actual fact, let me tell you, God in reality took the leadership out of the hand of Moses. And it tells us that the angel of the Lord, yes, and the pillar of the cloud and the pillar of fire went before them. And so there's a blame here. But friend, you know, it was a foolish thing they were saying. Because let me tell you, if God had intended them to die in the wilderness, if God had intended Moses to take them into the wilderness to die there, why didn't God just leave them to die in Egypt? But God didn't. God didn't allow the firstborn to die in Egypt. God delivered them. And the fact that the Lord had led them out of Egypt, surely it was evidence that God was not going to allow them to fall before their enemies, because God had promised, in this mountain ye shall serve me, in this mountain, the Mount of Horeb, ye shall sacrifice unto me. And if they were in a predicament, let's be honest, and they were. If they were in a place of testing, and they were, it was God who took them there. Is it not true that so often it's so easy to blame Moses? You notice not only their blame, notice their boasting. Notice the arrogance of them here in verse number 12. Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt? Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. There's an arrogance here. Because there's an arrogance of the flesh here. Because in reality, that was not what they said. That's what not. Because in actual fact, if they were so convinced that they should stay in Egypt, why didn't they stay there? What did they follow Moses for? Moses didn't take them by the nose. If they knew better, well, why didn't they chart the way? But to be quite honest, friend, man always looks for somebody else to blame. There not only is a blaming here, not only a boasting, there's a belittling. Because it said it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. They forgot quickly. Do you remember the cry they made to God? Remember when they were in bondage, God says, I heard their cry. He said, I saw their afflictions, I heard their cry. What were they crying for? They were crying for deliverance. What was happening here, friend? God was delivering them, but they couldn't see it. They couldn't understand it. Let me tell you this. They were on the verge of the mightiest miracle that God was about to perform in their lives. At the Red Sea, God was about to take them through the Red Sea. And they were on the verge of a miracle. Instead of it, they blamed Moses. But notice very quickly the precepts here, verses 13 and 14. Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. But he will show you today, for the Egyptians whom you see today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Very quickly, I want you to notice three things there. I know time's away, just draw this to your foot. First of all, here's the right attitude. It says, and Moses said unto them, fear ye not, there's peace. Fear not. Why did Moses say that first? Because the Bible says they were sore afraid. God knew that's exactly where they were. God knew exactly that was their tremendous need. There was a fear in their heart. And they were disturbed in their heart. And they didn't know where to turn. And they didn't know what was going to happen. All they could see was the enemy approaching. They couldn't see God. God knows they need peace. And the first message from God was this through his servant Moses. He says, fear ye not. Don't be afraid. Over and over again in the Bible, friend, you'll find that God says, fear not. He said it to Abraham. He said, fear not, Abraham. He said it to Joshua. In a day of great testing, he said, Joshua, don't be afraid. He said it to Gideon. He said it to Daniel. We read this morning in the book of Luke's Gospel, chapter 12 and verse 32, it says, fear not, little flock, for it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And maybe, friend, before God and you gather here in God's house this morning and before the Lord, you must confess that you're afraid and you're facing circumstances, you're facing problems, you're facing trials, you're facing testings. Maybe in your own personal life, maybe in your family life, maybe in your financial life, maybe in so many different circumstances. And friend, be honest, you are in the absolute maze, but not only in your maze, you're gripped with fear. There's something you need in the midst of the storm. You need God's peace. You need the great calm. And God says, listen, Moses, tell them, fear ye not. Peace. Secondly, stand still. What is that? Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, friend. Stand still. There's patience. Patience. Not only do you need peace, you need patience. Now the word stand still, some people get a good excuse here because they said, listen, just the Lord, I don't have to do anything. Don't you forget, friend, God said to them, tell them to go forward. You say, is there not sort of confusion here? Because going forward is the opposite to standing still. Because standing still, you're not moving. Going forward, you are. Now that standing still, friend, is not a simply passive thing, because whenever you're obeying God, you must then go with God. You must wait on the Lord, first of all, before you move forward. And the word stand still is also stand firm. In other words, take your stand. Stand firm. You see, the flesh constantly is on the move. The flesh wants to decide everything. And if they were to run, if they were to be confused, if they were to be disorganized, they're going to miss the blessing. And God says, listen, stand firm. Patiently. Patiently. You see, faith raises the soul above the difficulty and brings it straight to God. And it says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Peace, patience, promises. See the salvation of the Lord, which He will show to you today. For the Egyptians who you see today, ye shall see them again no more. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Now notice, in this instruction, Moses didn't tell them how this deliverance was going to happen. I wonder why. To be honest, I don't think he knew. He didn't know. But he knew that God would honor his word. He knew that God could be trusted. He knew that God had led them up to this moment. And friend, it is true that we can be in the very path of duty, and yet we face great straits in our lives. Face great problems. But boy, the great promises overcome great discouragements. God says, trust me. And I'm saying it again, friend, listen, I'm not asking you to trust the preacher. I'm not asking you to trust anybody else. Because let me tell you, when you do, then you're wrong. You get your eyes upon the Lord and you trust Him. Trust Him. Stand still and see the salvation of God. For God says, listen, I'm going to destroy that enemy. See that enemy that you got your eyes on? You see that? You see the enemies are pursuing here? And God says, listen, you are going to see them no more forever. God says, I'm going to destroy them. You'll see them no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. You know, not only did the children, with us and flows, the petition here, verse 15. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Not only did the children of Israel cry, so did he. Not only did Moses speak to the children of Israel, friend, but he spoke to God. Now the contents of Moses' prayer is not given. But I do know it was sincere, because God says in verse 15, and the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? It's a sin not to pray. But it's a sin to pray and not to obey. Because let me tell you, friend, prayer is to help our actions, not to stop them. And some people talk of prayer just to hide behind their refusal to act. That they should do nothing. And God says, I want you to speak unto the children of Israel, and I want you to tell them now, go forward. Go forward. And I believe that that's what God wants us to do. In a day of great problems and difficulties and oppositions where the powers of hell will come against us, I believe that God wants us, yes, to go forward in His name. But I tell you, my friend, God didn't go forward here and tell Moses to go forward to uplift the enemy. God says, I'm going to destroy the enemy. I'm going to destroy them. And God says, listen, you'll see them again no more. There's a great enemy of souls about today. And he's going about seeking whom he may devour. And there's people in the service this morning and you're not saved, let me tell you. You're in league with the enemy. And you need the Lord Jesus. Oh, I pray in God's name that you'll come to Christ. Even now. That you go forward with God, friend. You let the Lord lead. You let the Lord guide you. And just take it step by step with him. Where he may lead me, I will go, for I've learned to trust him so. And I remember 'twas for me that he was slain on Calvary. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we bow before thee this morning, I pray that you'll lead the sinner to the cross. You let the unconverted this day see just exactly what thou art able to do in their lives. Lord, open their eyes, open their minds, open their understanding. The God of the world has blinded their eyes that they behold not the beauty of Jesus. To them there is no desire, or there is no beauty that they should desire him. Oh God, I pray in Jesus' name, seek the sinner out and save them for all eternity. And for your children, I pray in Jesus' name, O God, give us wisdom, give us understanding, give us guidance. That we may not do what the flesh wants, but O God, that we might walk in the Spirit. That we might be endued by the power of the Spirit. All the way my Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? O God, help us. See your hand as it reaches out to take ours. Heavenly Father, lead us. Help us to be obedient. Help us to go forward in your name. For Jesus' sake.